Call number four, homework number three, habit three, rather. Here we go. We have to look at that homework because we had some amazing, stellar statements, personal mission statements come through. And so I just picked out a few just to read. I know some of us are still creating, some of us are redoing and recreating. I'm going to start off with a few and then end with my favorite type that I got in. So no names, of course, but to live each day to the fullest and the gifts God has given us. And if somebody could check on their phone there, mute the phone, please. Here's another one. Be true to yourself and savor life's joys. Support family and friends by helping them and practicing acts of kindness. All right. To make the world a better place, one smile, one compliment, one kind word at a time. To provide comfort, happiness, and stability to the ones I love. To be the best version of myself every single day and to strive to have a positive influence on the lives of everyone I meet. Pretty deep. Never stop learning. Use the tools of the past and the obstacles of the present to influence and teach others. So you can see most of these weren't just written, or as we say, you weren't struck by lightning as, well, that's okay if you are. But these are kind of a learning process. I'm going to finish up with this one, and only because it became a poem, and so what better mission statement that you can memorize as a poem? Be the best that you're destined to be. Be the best. Your life is your own journey. Reach your goals. Never limit your success. Your greatness will surely rub off on others in excess. And that prize is going to go to somebody, but we're going to keep her anonymous right now. So welcome once again. You know, the habit this week, first things first, it's we look at it right off the bat and say, well, that's an easy one. But on the surface, maybe yes. But it does take some time to look at. And, you know, this we say is the habit of personal management and character. And so really when we say personal management, we're talking about really time management and how we make decisions. Time management, we could go on for a whole week on a module on time management. And we have touched on time management before, talking about margins. We're just going to kind of talk about a little bit about time, but really more about what Covey and some others say about first things first. And here's just a thought for you that comes from one of your old uncles or grandfathers. You've heard this before. When you gamble with time, you may be placing a bet you can't cover. And so we say prioritizing. When we're prioritizing first things first, time really becomes a big deal. And it's not really that commodity we want to waste. You know, we always talk about time is money. I just kind of got a jolt when I was looking at that, and I just picked up one of my old poem books. And so here's an old poem for you for entertainment just today. Can't do no time. You have to kind of sing it like an old song, I think. My sentence is long, it's hard and cold. Murder is the worst, they say. But you won't die and you won't get old. But for what you did, you must pay. Can't do no time because I've killed it. Time wasn't bad, but I wasted it good. Some say the job was real fine. Never thought twice, but I guess that I should. Took it, but it wasn't mine. Can't do no time because I killed it. It goes on, but you get the ideas. When we start to focus in on habit number three, the first thing we think of is, how am I using my time? Am I using my time effectively? And, you know, Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. And just so happened, I was looking at a book review this morning, and the book was entitled The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers. And I think you go to mothers to learn a little bit about time management and about prioritizing and this habit first things first. It's pretty easy, but one in the in that little book review, it talked about having no lists. Don't make the lists that were always kind of some kind of DNA. You know, I got my to-do list. And what this author was saying, a mother of several, that usually when we make these lists, and it's also in another book we call the One Thing that's a pretty popular book. One of my favorites been out there. I'm going to use that for a second. But when we make lists, we tend to not accomplish everything on that list, and then somehow we develop these feelings of inadequacy, and it just backfires. And so that's why, again, we say we've got to identify that one thing. What's the one thing today that I've got to focus in on? And it's what laser focus. And I can see that so easy right now with a newborn. Young mothers, I think, teach us a lot. And I see my wife, not exactly a young mother, but she is a mother, but just laser focused on one thing. And what is that? A little child. I mean, totally dependent in every facet, every single minute of that little child's life.
Javier.
All right. But you kind of get the idea, and mothers, I think, can really teach us about how to use your time and how to prioritize the time. In that case, a small child is an easy one. We're going to use a homework assignment relative to that here in a bit. Also in the book, it says, you're not what you do, the to-do list, but you are what you are, how you are actually spending time with that person, with that task, with that job. That's where the character comes in. And so we know we learn character. We have a module that we teach down at Learning Center. You know, we say when character was king, your word was your bond. Your word meant something. You shook somebody's hand, the deal was done. We always talk about our contracts. John Hughes and I, we say, hey, did you get your contract signed this year? Yeah, no, we don't have contracts. Peter doesn't have a contract. We don't have contracts. Our franchisees have contracts, mainly because by law they have to have. But he'd rather shake your hand and say, okay, look you in the eye and say, the deal's done. And so when we do talk about character and integrity, that also comes in on where we're spending our time. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. The thing we talk about integrity, too, I make a note of, is, we talk about integrity of we can't compromise our integrity. I think of the politicians right now. Can somebody name me a politician that has not compromised their integrity? And they're the great example right now in our world and in our news. It's kind of hard to trust. And we're going to see that in our leadership skills, trust is always out there. We keep hearing about trust. And if we don't trust somebody, then that relationship really can't go very far. And we're seeing this happen today. Our employees are not trusting the employers. This is a huge problem, and not just our industry, everywhere. And so it's a breath of fresh air when you look at the cover of Fortune magazine this week, and this month we see the Gates couple, Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, and the things they've been doing. If you have any extra time, you want to take a look and see. You know, those guys are just amazing. And the cover, it says, it's talking about their billions, and I thought, how many billions of dollars are they worth now? But it was talking about the billions of people they have affected. And think about that. I mean, how they've used your money. But it's also their time, their talent. I mean, it's been amazing. And we talk quite a bit about that at the Learning Center there when we talk about their giving project and Warren Buffett and some of those guys. But at any rate, Stephen Covey wrote his First Things First, a book, 406 pages, I believe it was, right after he wrote The Seven Habits. So he thought this habit was pretty serious and wrote another book, 406 pages. I'd say that's pretty serious. I remember reading that book and doing, we usually do one-pagers. Couldn't do a one-pager on that one. But I actually threw some of the stuff in my book. I just want to quote something out of that that's relative to what he talks about. He compares the clock and the compass. So using that metaphor of the clock and the compass. And he says, the compass tells us where to go. But there's a gap that exists because of the clock that seems to betray us. We know what to do, but we don't do it because we're spread out too thin, the job is too big, or we just can't find enough time. The gap only closes when we learn about another tough word, discipline. And I bring that up because in the other book we just referenced, That One Thing, that author talks about it's not so much discipline that we need, but the habits. So it comes back down to the habit. When I think of an example, I'll get up in the morning and I work out. Well, that became a habit. People say, well, you're disciplined when you wake up in the morning and do that. No, that's really a habit. But really, discipline comes in when I need it for small bouts. So let's just say my body's aching. Well, I could sleep in. Well, that's where the discipline pops in. There's a fine line, really, but That's why the habits are so important, and we say that, you know, our habits, you know, people don't change, but we might be able to change a habit, and that might be able to change for a while. And so discipline does come in handy, but it's not necessarily needed to be a truly successful leader. We overplay that word discipline. I want us to be careful how we use that, but, yeah, we have to be disciplined in what we're doing, but it's not a full-time job. So once we develop those habits, and especially these seven habits, then we get a better picture of how that really fits in our lives, especially, you know, this one, because it is talking about time and our own personal character. So also in that book, the author talks about six lies between you and success. I'm just picking out a couple of them, and one of those lies is everything matters equally. And we all know, he points out the 80-20 principle. If somebody hasn't heard about the 80-20 principle by now, I know we're in trouble. But, you know, that it was credit to some Italian architect at the time. Pareto was the guy's name, but really doesn't really matter. What he said was he found that 20% of their wealth was, you know, 20% of the people own 80% of the wealth. But then this became more of a universal concept of almost everything. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You know, you've heard this before. We tend to spend 80% of our people on what? The 80%? No, the 20%. You know, there's a philosophy there, but what he's really saying there is that everything's equal. Everything's not equal. We think it's equal. I think even sports teams and how we coach and how we lead, and even our teams and our crews at the shop, we everybody's not going to get treated equally. We think we should, but we're never going to do it that way. And I think even the New York Giants, they had that crazy guy, Beckham. And, you know, he was a great player, unbelievable. You have to have the best players. But he needed more attention. And so the coaches had to coach him differently. And he was, you know, not that he was more valuable on the team. You're still on the team, but everybody gets treated differently. So not everybody is going to be treated the same. The other lie that he talks about in this book, and I agree, is called multitasking. And we think this is a laudable goal that we should all have. And multitasking, as he points out, is only effective that you do several things incorrectly then at that point. And we talk about we're not good at multitasking. In fact, the history of multitasking came back in the early 60s when computers were first designed. And so the computers could do that, but humans can't. And he kind of points out in the brain what happens. We lose focus. And again, that comes back to that one thing, prioritizing, first things first. What can we do? Because we can't really do a lot of things at once. Maybe that young mother, and I don't know, I've seen that happen. But not many people can do that. And then we talk about that disciplined life. He points out the old marshmallow test. You may have heard about that years ago. They put these little kids in a room, and they put two marshmallows in front of them, and the scientist said, listen, you can have one of these marshmallows, and you can have the other one when I come back. And he would leave, or that technician would leave, and, of course, the kids would eat the marshmallow almost immediately because they had, you know, immediate gratification. And so we do know that not many, so they could identify only like 1 in 10 kids could actually sit back and wait because they'd say, you know, when you get back, I'll give even more marshmallows. But we don't tend to be able to control our brains that way. And, again, it's because haven't developed that habit. And yet we thought maybe we could see if there was somebody that could withstand gratification for a while. I want to point out another little article that came through just recently. It was actually in the Fortune magazine, but it was a book review also on how to raise successful people, Simple Lessons for Radical Results by Esther Wozniak. And she came up with this acronym. She actually had three daughters that are all CEOs in Silicon Valley, and so some insight on leadership and success habits. But she had the acronym CRIC, or TRIC rather. And TRIC stands for trust, respect, independence, collaboration, kindness. Trust, respect, we've heard those everywhere we look, independence, collaboration, kindness. I think of the personal mission statements I read, several of them had kindness in there. Just met a lady here at a book signing that was, she has a foundation, and it's all about her kindness. And actually, she has, you know, she promotes this through shirts and how to be kind. Interesting concept, but again, it's really something that's, I think, starting, you're seeing this this kind of leadership more prevalent, because the old style leadership is not working so well. So back to Covey and our habit here today. He talks about really the four quadrants of how to focus on your highest priorities. And it's pretty simple. The four quadrants, and the first one he calls necessity items. What are the urgent items in your life right now, in your workplace, in your personal life? And these are last-minute deadlines, the unforeseen events. I think of Bridget, who's sitting here right next to me. She had a very specific project here a couple weeks ago, and it was going to carry her through. She couldn't come to this workshop, or she couldn't come to this call. So first things first, what do you do? What's more important? We had to get that deadline done. Last week, about this time, Peter had to have some advertisements done. We had to get a billboard up all last minute. These are the quadrants that you're prepared to do urgent items. And so this is what Covey talks about. What items are very, you know, are have to be done immediately. The second quadrant is not so urgent, but it's the proactive work we talked about already. What are the important goals that you have for that day? And also, you know, time for creative thinking, learning. They're not necessities, but definitely on the top of the idea. Quadrant three are the distractions and how we react. The unimportant tasks, those emails that keep getting in our way, the phone, social media, the guy next door that doesn't know how to act correctly at the workplace, that kind of thing. And then the fourth quadrant is pretty simple, the wasteful time, you know, in your life, personal life, work life, you know, the water cooler time where we're gossiping, where we know better, the TV that sucks the brain out of us, internet now, you know, there's everywhere you turn, there's research going on. What's going on with our kids? How are we going to go forward with this? At any rate, Covey gives us those quadrants to give us the advice, and it's pretty simple if you sum it up. Eliminate unimportant things. What are the unimportant things we can cross off our list that we have? Focus on the highest priorities. What are they? And then we have to plan every week. And that's one thing I've seen Peter do. If you see him in his organization book, Sunday nights is a big deal. You don't bug him on Sunday nights. And I can recall as a teacher also, you had that Sunday night, you just blocked off several hours because you had to get that lesson plan locked in because you didn't want to waste your time during the week. And so we look back, habit number one, am I free to choose? Am I ultimately responsible for my own happiness? Habit two, we had that clear defining of the vision, the purpose in life. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to be? I love that 80-year-old birthday idea. We had so many good ones there. Sorry that didn't get on the call. And then habit three here, I spend time on what's most important. Am I disciplined enough to get the most important thing done? And so that's going to reflect right in our homework. But first, before we hang up, quote of the week. This was sent in by one of us. You attract what you are, not what you want. If you want great, then be great. And I did see some really great dissertations and good one-pagers on those 28 rules of attraction. So thanks again for that. And you can really tell that some of us are putting some pretty good time and thought into reflecting on some of these. So, homework assignment. It's pretty simple, but it will take a little bit of time and as we say, contemplation, reflection. List five or six things, important things you want to put first in your work and your personal life. And then list them out in order. Now, again, confidential. If you email them, if you send them in, text, I don't care how, but I want you to spend a little time on what you're going to, what you're going to prioritize. And it's just one lesson that you can, once you do it a few times yourself, and it's easy to do with your coworkers, to do with your staff, whoever you're working with, whoever you're trying to help lead. So that was first things first, running through the habits. Next week, anybody know habit number four? Who's memorized their habits?
Think win-win.
Oh, all right. So we cheated on that one, but all right, everybody's going to win-win. Have a great Mother's Day, and I'm sure we will all do just great by calling our mothers, if that's not on your number one priority list right now. All right, thanks a lot, gang. We'll see you soon.
See you.